From the macabre minds of Laughing Devil Production comes another story from the Nightshade Diary. You know what that means. Check under the bed and make sure no one or nothing is there. Is the closet door securely shut? Then leave your disbelief behind, amp up your imagination, and hang on tight for another ride into terror and mystery. And like all good horror stories, just imagine it's a dark and stormy night. And remember, screaming like a little girl is permitted. The Renshaw Coffin. Renshaw, about which the following stories are related, is the country house of the Sitwells. This is a well-known Derbyshire family to which Mr. Osbert, Mr. Sackrell, and Miss Edith Sitwell belong. It is an old house dating from 1625 and has many ghostly associations. The first story was probably given to Lord Halifax by his friend Miss Tate, the daughter of the Archbishop of Canterbury. The second story was supplied by Sir George Sitwell himself, with the addition of a note by his wife, Lady Ida Sitwell. Miss Tate's story. In 1885, Sir George Sitwell, who was born in 1860, celebrated his legal coming of age. There was a large party in the house for the occasion, the guests including the Archbishop of Canterbury and one or two of his daughters. Miss Tate was sleeping in a room at the head of the staircase. In the middle of the night, she came into the room of Miss Sitwell, Sir George's sister, and declared that she had been awakened by the sensation of someone having given her three cold kisses. Miss Sitwell said she would make up a bed for Miss Tate on the sofa in her own room. She added that she was not willing to go back and sleep in Miss Tate's room, as once she had fancied she had the same experience when she had slept there. After the party had broken up, Mr. Turnbull, Sir George's agent, came to talk to him about some business, and in the course of their conversation, Sir George mentioned Miss Tate's account of what she believed had occurred in the room she occupied. Sir George had thought Mr. Turnbull would be amused, but contrary to his expectations, Mr. Turnbull turned very pale and said, "Well, Sir George, you may ask a joke about it, but when you lent us the house for our honeymoon, Miss Crane, a schoolfellow of my wife's, came to stay with us, and she had the same room and exactly the same experience." Some time afterwards, there was a question of altering and enlarging the staircase. Sir George Sitwell consulted his cousin, Mr. F.I. Thomas, as to how this should be best done, and Mr. Thomas recommended throwing the room in question with the one below it into the staircase. It was eventually decided that this should be done. When the alterations were begun, Sir George, being anxious to learn anything that was to be ascertained about the ancient plan of the house, left orders with the steward and clerk of the works to take note of anything of interest that might be discovered, and let him and Mr. Thomas know about it. The work was begun, and one day Mr. Thomas, on opening his letters, found one from the clerk of the works. He reported that in removing the floor of one of the bedrooms, the workman had come across something which he thought would interest him. He therefore begged Mr. Thomas to come down and see what they had found. Mr. Thomas went down and learned that they had discovered a coffin between the joists of the floor of the room in which Miss Tate had slept. From its appearance and the fact that it had no screws but only nails, the coffin appeared to date from the 17th century. It was finally fastened to the joists by iron cramps, but owing to the shallowness of the space between the joists and the floor, there was no lid, the floorboards serving this purpose. There was no trace of any bones within the coffin, but it carried certain marks which suggested that it had once contained a body. Sir George Sitwell's story. Last Saturday, two ghosts were seen at Renshaw. Lady Ida had been to Scarborough to attend the lifeboat ball, at which she had sat up until 4 o'clock in the morning, returning home in the afternoon. After dinner, the party of six, I was absent for a few hours, sat in the drawing room upstairs, Lady Ida lying on a sofa facing the open door. She had been speaking to a friend who was sitting on her left, when she looked up and saw in the passage outside the figure of a woman, apparently a servant, with gray hair and a white cap, the upper part of her dress being blue and the skirt dark. Her arms were stretched out at full length, and the hands were clasped. This figure moved with a very slow, furtive, gliding motion, as if wishing to escape notice, straight towards the head of the old staircase, which I removed 20 years ago. On reaching it, she disappeared. Unwilling to think that there was anything supernatural in the appearance, Lady Ida called out, "Who's that?" and then the name of the housekeeper. When no one answered, she cried to those who were nearest the door, "Run out and see who it is. Run out at once." Two people rushed out, but no one was to be seen, nor, when the others joined them and searched the hall and passages upstairs, could they find anyone resembling the woman described to them by Lady Ida. They had given up the search and were returning to the drawing room when one of the party, Mrs. R., who was a little behind the others, exclaimed, "I do believe that's the ghost." No one else saw anything, but afterwards she described what she had seen. In the full light of the archway below, within 20 feet of her, and just where the door of the old ghost room used to stand until I removed it and put the present staircase in its place, she saw the figure of a lady, with dark hair and dress, apparently lost in painful thought and oblivious to everything about her. Her dress was fuller than is the fashion, and the figure, though opaque, cast no shadow. It moved with a curious gliding motion into the darkness and melted away at the spot within a yard of the place where a doorway, now walled up, led from the staircase to the hall. There is no doubt that these figures were actually seen as described. They were not ghosts, but phantasms, reversed impressions of something seen in the past and now projected from an overtired and excited brain. In both cases, the curious gliding movement, the absence of shadow, and the absolute stillness of the figures, which moved neither hand nor head and hardly seemed to breathe, point to that conclusion. Such an experience goes far towards solving the ghost problem. Ghosts are sometimes met with, but they are not ghosts. This version was submitted by George Sitwell in September of 1909. The following was from Lady Ida Sitwell. "I saw the figure with such distinctness that I had no doubt at all that I was looking at a real person, while at the same time, although seated in a well-lighted room and chatting with friends, I was conscious of an uneasy, creepy feeling. I tried to see the features, but could not. Even before I called out, my friends noticed that I appeared to be following something with my eyes. The light in the passage was good, and I could see so well that I could distinguish the exact shade of the dress. The figure was that of a woman between 50 and 60 years of age, and her gray hair was done up into a bun under an old-fashioned cap. I have never seen a ghost before, nor had I been thinking about ghosts." As to the identity of the ghost that kisses women in a room that is no more, it appears that this was a young boy that at one time lived at Renshaw Hall. The Sitwell family still occupies Renshaw Hall, and one of the last Sitwell, Sir Raresby Sitwell, a few years ago admitted that they had the place exorcised several times. The first time it was done by Catholic Monsignor Alfred Gilby, and the next by a spiritual friend of the family. But no good came of it. Also, they have an area which is known as the Duke's Landing on the first floor, but has been dubbed by the family the Ghost Passage. And then again, one of the busiest of the Renshaw ghosts is believed to be Henry Sacrevel, a sickly child who drowned age 13 in 1726. The last of the Sacrevels, his portrait entitled The Boy in Pink, hangs in the magnificent dining room of Renshaw Hall. He has also become known as the Kissing Ghost because he has a rather surprising penchant for nestling up to lady guests and waking them with kisses from beyond the grave.